Good evening, everybody, and welcome to the Bat Ball Podcast. Now, we are here today for episode 65, and today's episode will be the last episode before we kind of move back on to getting some guests in and kind of going back to being, what I would assume is a normal podcast where, you know, you have guests on and stuff. So that's all coming soon. That's coming next week. I am really sorry for the wait, but as you all know, sixth form, just starting up, quite a bit of homework too. I was going to use another word then, but no, it's all coming into place now. I've got a bit more time on my hands, and I've got a lot of stuff to talk about today. So the Great British Crisis is today's topic. And before I go on to that, and I won't go off on a tangent like I usually do on this subject, but I would like to also mention that just over a year ago, about a year and a half ago, I sat in the position where I am now, in literally, not figuratively, and looked out of my window with my Turtle Beach headphones that I bought from Asda for £11. And basically said, well, here we go. This is the first time that I will, you know, do a and release a podcast. Obviously, it was with Kingdom Rapper, all that time ago now. And I said, right, today is the day that we do it. And we did it. 27th of March, 2020, we did it. Sitting here at my desk, and it's all dramatically changed. You know, I've bought myself a computer. I've got microphones. I've got, you know, much more information, followers, and people asking me questions a lot, and people actually know who I am now, which is really nice, you know, considering how, you know, the amount of work that I put in. And I wouldn't stop until I got that, and I'm not done yet. This is just the start. But I just want to thank you. I just wanted to start by thanking you all for being on that journey, because I'm going to be going, and it's not, believe me, it's not a massive, you know, like I'm some actor on, I don't know, EastEnders, which is a great soap, by the way, divided opinion, but I will be going and joining the Sky News, The Great Debate, brand new TV show. And we're basically going to be, we're going to be talking to people. We're going to be interviewing and kind of getting to grasps with why people do things, the effects it's had on society, and also kind of getting some, not social justice, but getting answers for people that aren't actually in that position that I'm in that case. And I think being put in that position where I think I would like to say I thrive, given the fact I've done podcasting for the last year and a half. I think that maybe this is the right thing for me to go into as my next step. Now, this does start on Monday night at 9 p.m., 27th September. Well, fortunately, this episode won't be a live show. I don't know why, but it won't be a live show, which means I will actually be able to comfortably sit and watch, you know, the show that I've just took part in. I'll be part of an audience, probably about 60 of us, and we'll be on a virtual wall on Zoom, I believe. And we'll basically have people that are high in authority, if you like. And we'll be asking them questions. And although I don't know who the people on the panel are, and I actually can't tell you, because obviously that would be spoiling it, I won't actually give out any information of who will be on it unless I'm told to. So just letting you know, nobody's going to know just yet. Maybe I'll tell my mum, maybe. I'm kidding. But it's going to remain a secret, basically. And I'm currently formulating questions. You know, the whole team at Sky, I've submitted my story through COVID, you know, and now I'm going to submit questions ready for the night. And maybe my questions won't get picked, but before, I need to find out who the guests are first before I start putting questions to people that I don't know. I just think that if it was someone like, I don't know, Piers Morgan, how would you have handled your exit of Good Morning Britain differently? That kind of thing. Obviously, it's not going to be that, but questions suit different people. And I wouldn't want to give a generic question. I'd want to make it meaningful. So, yeah, that's basically why I'm taking a bit of time to make the questions and waiting for who the panel is going to be in terms of who we're interviewing. And before we kind of go on to the Great British Crisis topic, which is what today's podcast is about, I'm just super excited to tell you about this. I would like to say as well that this was only meant to be temporary. It was only meant to be 1 week and then that'd be it. That'd be my final TV appearance. But actually now it's going to be a little bit more than that. It's going to be the full 6 weeks that it will be airing. So I'm really, really happy, basically. And yeah, to be given that opportunity by the team at Sky and, you know, is a really, really big opportunity that I simply couldn't pass on. So I'm really looking forward to it. That's next Monday, 9 p.m. Sky News. It's the main channel. Not obviously Sky News, but it's the show, the channel, sorry. So yeah, definitely worth checking in, having a watch. You know, it's an hour long, so it's really, really interesting and also not actually too long because I don't like to sit around for more than an hour or 2 hours, you know, watching TV. So definitely worth the watch. But that's talking about the next step. That's the next step for me. Nothing to do with today's podcast, however. The Great British Crisis. Now, I think maybe it could be determined as an oxymoron, the Great British Crisis, because I don't think really great and crisis go together quite too well. As you all know, the media, if I just scroll on my phone now, I'm going to go to BBC News and I'm going to quickly look at the top stories of today. So two energy firms fail after, you know, the gas prices, shortages of natural gas are causing prices in the UK and also around the world, but mainly Europe and even more mainly the UK. And of course, with that, there is a lot of problems. So not only is the universal credit cut happening, but the utility prices for gas, which we use for heating, electricity, etc., is rising. So therefore, the people that actually relied on that little bit of extra money from universal credit to help pay for that are actually now being cut. It's being cut. So more and more people are going to be in a position where they are financially unstable. And it's, I don't think it's feasible. I don't think this is going to last very long. Of course, gas prices are going to rise because of the shortage. You know, they're not going to stay cheap or a decent level if there's a shortage. We all know that. It's the basics of how the world works. If there's not a much of something, it will cost you more. So this is, of course, I think this is just a drop in the ocean compared to the massive kind of, well, the ocean is representative of the wider problem. And this is simply one of those problems. It's the one jigsaw piece, you know, in a 10,000 piece jigsaw. Now, my main thing that I took away from this, and I did actually post this not too long ago to a few friends, and I said this, if I can find it. So hold on. So we in the most of Europe rely on Russia for natural gas. We need to go renewable soon, but how will we pay for that? So the reason I think this is interesting, I think maybe it's worth talking about it here, is the fact that, yeah, actually a lot of our gas actually does come from Russia. And a lot of also, I don't want to just say this is just a purely British problem, but a lot of Europe's gas comes from Russia. As you know, the EU recently signed a deal with Russia for, I think, oh, it might have been a couple of years back, actually, but it's a fairly recent deal for Nord Stream 2, which will bring gas well, more gas from Russia. And as you know, Russia is a huge, huge, huge country, the size of a continent, pretty much. And we're going to be bringing in tons and tons of gas from Russia. Europe is. So this massive new pipeline, don't get me wrong, we need gas. And Russia is abundant in gas. Great that we can get gas from somewhere. But if you can't identify the problems with getting gas from Russia, then I don't think it's fair for you to comment on issues with foreign relations and also the gas problem we're currently going through, because we already know that relations with Russia are shaky. And given the fact that recently the UK courts decided that it was Russia that killed the gentleman that was poisoned a few years ago. I can't remember his name. How can we justify buying this much gas off Russia? Surely there is viable alternatives, right? Well, that's what you'd like to think. If we entered a conflict with Russia, in terms of whether it be warfare or true hostility, it is quite possible that they could, you know, stop those gas supplies, which could potentially damage millions of people across Europe. Tens of millions. We rely on gas, heating, electricity, whatever you want to do. We rely on gas. So therefore, we need to look at alternatives. And believe me, this is massively easier said than done. You know, everybody always says, guys, let's just all go renewable. You know, we've got wind, we've got solar, we've got, you know, nuclear's not renewable, don't forget. We still have to mine rare materials for that, plutonium, uranium, etc., to make it, but it is still a very viable way of making electricity, and it also doesn't take a lot of material to produce a lot of product. So I wouldn't class it as renewable, but I class it as an alternative, an expensive alternative. We've got tidal power. We've got, as I say, wind power. We've got biofuels, but even then they still emit. So I wouldn't really class them as a good alternative. And the UK has potential for some of the best tidal energy producing power plants in the entire world. In the world. And also we have some of the best wind power plants in the world already. We have the largest offshore wind power plant of any country in Europe, and I think maybe the world. So we've already got an element of renewables to it. So how do we go into this renewable world? How do we do it soon so that in case this issue with Russia arises or more gas shortages come in the future, how do we go about going renewable? Well, if we want to go renewable, it's going to cost billions of pounds. It's going to cost tens of billions of pounds. It's going to cost a lot of money, and likely to pay for this, we're going to need a lot, maybe possibly increase taxes. Possibly increase taxes. And of course, it's going to anger people, but it's essential to becoming a renewable energy producing country. So I've just gone on to, as I've been talking, I might have been slurring a bit there because I've been searching up this. The National Grid live status shows the exact percentage of what we use to make electricity. And this was last updated 2 minutes ago. Okay, 2 minutes ago. So it says on here that in the past week, the average demand has been 27.8 gigawatts. In the last day, it's been 26.9 gigawatts. And actually, it even says here that the majority or close to the majority of that electricity that was made today was actually renewable energy. The reason for this is because when demand is low for energy, renewable is really, really good there, because obviously we're not going to need to pump out loads of electricity. But when we really do, and there's a graph here that shows the huge demand needed as the day goes by for electricity, and all of a sudden fossil fuels kick in and use more. But now the demand is a bit lower, renewables take over. So it says on the website, here that 38.5% of UK electricity power is actually renewable. And I don't know if that's just today or what, but that's what it says. It says that today there has been no coal or oil or open cycle gas used, just combined cycle gas. But also today there has been solar panels, wind and hydroelectric plants used. And then 19.5% of the other bit is like nuclear, biomass, etc., etc. So as an overview, we are using renewables, but are we using them as much as we'd like, kind of thing?
We
can definitely transfer to renewable energy. It's just going to cost a lot of money, right? But there's another catch. Tidal energy is bad because not only do the turbines produce energy, which is great, what about the wildlife that live in the sea? The environment around that area, you know, there's going to be a lot of building, there's going to be a lot of noise pollution, a lot of light pollution, a lot of species are actually going to get hurt, you know, when the turbines are spinning. Where is the kind of, we're going to soon have to start saying, right, this form of electricity production is better than this one. And although this one doesn't emit fuel, it does kill thousands and thousands of fish, but it's something we have to do. Is there ever going to be a perfect solution? I don't think so. The mining for rare materials for nuclear. There's human slavery, there's child slavery, you know, there's deaths, unsafety, you know, not proper working conditions, not proper pay, if any, as I say. There's pollution when the machines are running. The machines probably run on fossil fuels, you know, when you're mining, all the harmful gases are coming out of the ground. All sorts of stuff is happening. All sorts of stuff. And all sorts of stuff will pollute the atmosphere. So maybe you're asking now, well, we've gone down a very deep kind of route in this conversation. Why? Well, the answer is we're going to need gas. Now, we can't all of a sudden overnight just go, right, we haven't got gas, so we'll go renewable. It's a long process. And currently that process is getting there, but we're not there yet. We're not there yet, which of course presents the issue of actually we need to start working on this, because shortages like this in the future could be devastating to not only industry, but also the people that live here. The things that, you know, industry can't work without people. And if the people don't have, you know, correct living space and stuff like that, they're not going to be productive and they're not going to work, because they're going to want to protect their family over anything. So there you go. In short, we are in a crisis. We rely on Russia, and most of Europe rely on Russia for gas, and a lot of UK gas, and well, a lot of people want to nationalize you know, the energy industry again after it was sold off. Will we see that though? I don't know. But all I will say is this is a truly great British crisis, because of the way that we respond to things. We blame it on someone else. We're notorious for it. We say, hey, why is there no gas? Well, it's because of Brexit. It's because of the Russians, it's because of the Germans, it's because of Europe, it's because of, you know, this company, that company, it's because of Margaret Thatcher. But, you know, instead of finding a solution, we moan, we complain, we don't get anything done, and we divide the population. This country is too divided to get anything done. And that is one of our biggest downfalls. I see it that way. I think that being divided gives the government and people in power who are not doing anything more time to do bugger all, essentially. So by giving them that crucial time, they're getting away with the thing that we always moan about. So we need to come together, address the issue. Yes, there is definitely a crisis, but why is there a crisis? We need so much natural gas that eventually there's going to be none. So we need to switch to viable alternatives quicker. We need renewable energy. We need to stop spending money on fancy gas plants like they wanted to introduce at Radcliffe-on-Soar. And we need to stop spending money on coal and other plants, which I think they are anyway. But we need to move. And whether that be nuclear, biomass, any of those viable solutions that I have mentioned already, we need to start making that move and getting it done before it's too late. And by too late, maybe I mean running out of gas. Maybe I mean prices become so expensive that we have blackouts in the country. There is not one way of looking at it. We have to look at it from every perspective. This country needs a lot of things doing to it, but renewable energy should be the top of our list. So yeah, it's a truly British crisis. Not just this, but COVID. We always end up talking about COVID. This podcast originated from COVID. So the way that we handled COVID, we were too obsessed with making trade deals than stopping the Delta variant coming into the country. We were too obsessed with Brexit than we were about saving 160,000 lives. We were too obsessed with making lies about 40 new hospitals and 50,000 new nurses than we were about giving nurses proper pay, actually hiring more nurses like promised, and actually building new hospitals and reducing the backlog, which apparently could be lasting till 2023. It's 2 years away. We don't have time to wait. I don't like to go down a negative tangent because this podcast is usually very positive, also serious, but positive. But people are being undiagnosed, you know, people are being left undiagnosed and then unfortunately die from cancer. Families are going to lose loved ones. Parents are going to lose sons, daughters, you know. Kids are going to lose their parents, and COVID will not stop dying. People dying. Sorry. COVID will not stop killing people. Sorry, mismatched my words there. COVID will continue to kill people for as long as it's around. And although we've got people vaccinated, there is still that chance of passing away from COVID because the vaccine is not 100% effective. And we have to realize that. So we need to work now to get as many people vaccinated and also work on treatments, preventatives, and, you know, to correctly inform people and give people a reason to have a vaccine. And I don't mean incentives like the Americans propose, where they give £100 to anyone that has one. I mean meaningful incentives. Real information. Give people their freedoms to say what they want, think what they want, as they should do, we shouldn't always just shoot down someone who's an anti-vaxxer. We should say to them, okay, I understand your argument. Here is my argument with the evidence that you have for that. By shouting at someone and making fun of someone, that will only make them more feel more rebellious and feel more against your cause than anything. So the correct way to go about it and to speak with people that are against the vaccination is to have a good conversation. Have a good conversation with them. Say to them, well, look, let's go and sit down and we can have a chat about this. Present your information and maybe they'll go, actually, you've really, really made me think about it. And maybe this is, maybe I do think that I should get the vaccine. So stop shouting at anti-vaxxers. Stop making fun of anti-vaxxers. If they approach you aggressively, kill them with kindness. Okay, best way to go about it. COVID, the gas crisis, everything. It's dividing everyone. It's all you ever see at the moment. Media companies are like leeches. Absolutely ridiculous. All of them grabbing on to this big news story. Gas prices rising, shortages, disruption. The nation has gone into a frenzy. People are so worried. And my advice to everybody would be support one another, love thy neighbor, as I think it's said in the Bible. Not on a religious note, by the way, I'm just saying, just, you know, be part of your community, thrive in your community, do good things in your community. Don't turn off the news, but don't let it manipulate you. Realize that most stories, and I won't say this for NG9 News because I don't think we say it how it is. Unfortunately, sometimes that's not good, and also sometimes it is good. But we are indefinitely a gas crisis, but should we all be worried running around like headless chickens and thinking the world's going to end? No. We should get on with our day-to-day lives, acknowledge the fact that there is a problem, and whoever is in a position where they can actually make a difference, look at how you can solve this crisis and we'll get through it like we have with many things. You know, we beat one of the most upcoming and dangerous empires that there ever was in the Nazis, you know, and restored freedoms to millions of people. You know, we've been through recessions, you know, pandemics in the past, hard times. This is one of those hard times, but as a great British nation, we need to combat it in what would be the traditional Great British way. To find a proper way to do it, to solve the problem, to find a proper way to engage with the nation correctly without scaremongering, and to let people know everything's going to be okay, but also being honest with them. Be honest with people. So there you go. That is the Great British Crisis. And it wasn't just gas related. It was also partially Brexit related, but also COVID related mainly. So thank you all for listening. That was episode 65, The Great British Crisis. I'll be back next Wednesday with a guest, and the Wednesday after, etc. We'll be posting every Wednesday, and then eventually, if we've got time, move back to Wednesdays and Sundays. So thank you all for listening. Definitely share the podcast if you've enjoyed it. If you haven't enjoyed it, let me know. Let me know where I can improve. I'm feeling a bit shaky, a bit nervous being back doing this kind of thing because I've just been writing all the time with school and the news. So it's a bit different writing than it is talking. And yeah, for anybody that is interested in this podcast, yeah, definitely give it a share. And yeah, you know, give it a share. Let us know what you think. And also, just a very last note, I want to give a big shout out to Colette Kirby as well for the Family Fun Day that is going on down at the Jolly Anglers, Meadow Road, Beeston Rylands, on the 26th of September, so this Sunday, at 2 p.m, raising money for the QMC Children's Hospital as part of Marianne's mission. Really great cause. I think that the QMC Children's Hospital definitely deserves this. They've done a lot not only for Marianne, but for many other children across Nottingham and the wider region. And I think this is a really good event. There'll be a barbecue, bouncy castle, hooker duck, cake stall, an adults and kids tombola, raffle, stocks, everything. So bring the family down, make it a day to remember, and we'll raise a lot of money for the QMC Children's Hospital, which does a lot of great things for a lot of people and children. So come down to Jolly Anglers, Meadow Road in Beeston Rylands at 2 p.m. this Sunday and come to the Family Fun Day. Let's raise some money together. Thank you all very much, everybody. Have a great evening or morning or day, whatever. Take care. Goodbye.